no, no. Okay, it's going. It's going. Oh my God, it might not be lying. I ruined it.
It's fine. That's really an easy fix. Do you know what's easiest to fix up our lineup? What? Do we need to start over completely?
No, it's going. I'm fine.
Okay. The easiest way to fix the lineup is to just go to the end and line it up at the end.
Fair point. Can I just give you props, though? Because, like, I mean, you're like a whiz at editing now. Do you remember when you were learning?
Horrifying.
Editing with Cassie 101, those ghetto recordings that I put together, and you picked it up so quickly. I'm so proud of you.
And I still can't bring myself to delete them off our Dropbox. Which I probably can, because I have them saved to my desktop.
It's okay. It's just a security blanket.
It really is. It's my security blanket. And what's funny, the funnier thing is, you know what? Hold on. Cue music. Oddities.
Thanks, Chef Kyle Head, for the intro.
The funnier thing is, I even can't delete the videos of Editing with Cassie Patreon edition. Because I was like, what if something happens to Cassie and I need to edit the Patreon videos?
What's going to happen to me that I'm not going to be... I'm afraid.
If you get sick and you can't edit and I need to step up.
I mean, we simply just won't put out a video. Like, it's okay.
And let down our Patreons? Never.
Everybody's going to survive. It's going to be... I wouldn't want that extra pressure on you, but I love you for that. But we're good.
I can't bring myself to delete your beautiful face.
Why, thank you. You hang on to that beautiful face. You go, Glenn Coco. Oh, yeah. Welcome back to Oddities. I'm Cassie.
And I'm Kelly.
And welcome back to Strange Town. Yada-da-da-da-da. As per usual, we have all of our shit in the description. Every variety of shit, all the shit. We have social media shit and email shit, website shit, merch shit,
shop our merch,
Patreon shit, shop our shit. Donate to our Patreon for a bonus episode every week. If you haven't heard me say shit enough, you can hear me say it probably more over there.
Rewind and take a shot every time you heard her say that.
Yeah, if you're listening like on a Friday night or something and really want to get demolished, go ahead and use us as a drinking game. How fun would that be?
If you haven't hydrated enough, grab your water bottle, and every time you hear Cassie say the word shit in this episode, take a shot of your water.
DoorDash some Pedialyte to yourself for tomorrow morning.
There you go.
And there it is. And so if we ask just a few things, friends. If you like us, please leave a positive review on whatever platform you're listening on. Two, if you have friends that might enjoy us or people in your social media network who might enjoy us, please share our shit. And three, what was the third thing? Oh, donate to our show. If you have the means to do so, you can do so for as low as $1 a month and you'll get a bonus episode every week. So if listening to us on Sunday isn't enough, you can also listen to us on Wednesday and in video format.
And watch us.
Yeah, you can watch us. And you get access to all the former episodes, like bonus episodes as well. So
enjoy. Episode.
Bing, 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 bing. And I think that's all everything. How's my bestie?
Your bestie is good. It's been a long week. You know, actually, it's been a long 2 weeks because we didn't even get to record last week. I missed your face.
I know. I missed yours, too. We were celebrating. Shout out to my mom. We were celebrating her 70th B-Day.
Yes, and the cake turned out beautifully.
The flowers looked like flowers. So they didn't make them like crystal meth flowers.
No, and it looked like delicious, the pig.
It was delicious. It was a wonderful cake. How's everything in your neck of the woods aside from being a long ass week?
It like good. The oldest.
It was like fine.
Yeah, the oldest is almost done with school. We're pretty much in the last month now, which is insane to think about. Honestly.
It is.
You know, we're just getting through it.
That's all.
It was a little funny. I shared this on the Patreon yesterday, woke up and the kids were running to me saying that there was a problem, and the problem was there was ants everywhere. Well, cleaning up the ant problem, I was like, oh, I gotta get the child into their first class of the day. And then I went to go log him in, and the first class of the day wasn't there.
I was like,
did I miss something? Because the other two classes were there, but the first class of the day, like, is how they count attendance, you know? So I was like, okay, that's a little weird. Why is that not there, but the other two,
like,
classes,
what's up with that?
So I, like, texted his teacher, and I was like, did I miss something? You know? Like I said, it's been a long week. And she didn't see my message right away, but then she texted me when it was, like, time for the class, and she goes, I don't know what happened.
Oh, my God. Did you guys get in?
No, because she went to go, like, make the class, but it was too close to the time, so it wouldn't let her. And she's like, it's okay, I'll count attendance. We'll do it during English or whatever. And she goes, it'll be fine. I already sent messages to all the other teachers. And then she goes, I just want to thank you for being my most on top of it family.
Slay. You go.
As I'm scrubbing the floor trying to get rid of ants, I was like, right now I don't feel on top of it.
This is what I needed to hear. Thank you.
Oh, it's like, a handsome man. He wants to be in the podcast. I was like, right now I really appreciate you though.
Yeah, that's... Come here, you. Oh.
Listen, handsome man, you're going to come live with me.
Look at this big boy. He's such a dapper man. Listen, you are on top of your shit. It was just a day, so...
Popsy, you know, I need you to come live with me.
You have to go to California now.
That face? I just got side-eye.
He was looking into another dimension for a second. I don't know what was happening there. And then what about the lizard fiasco of 2024?
So yeah, 2 hours later, I'm setting ant traps, and the ants were coming in through our laundry room door, which leads to the outside. And I open the door, and while I'm setting a trap, my oldest yells, a lizard just came in, which actually... He yells, a wizard ran in, which probably would have been cooler, but...
Infinitely cooler. I've got to agree with that.
I was like, no, a lizard didn't run in. I'm like, I think you're telling a story. And he's like, no, it did. It's under that fan. And I was like, yeah, okay. And then I lifted the fan. A lizard did run into my house.
And a little piece of your soul died.
Yep. Every piece of my soul. I... came unglued in so many, the unhinged that left my body was unreal. Like, I was so done.
Oh my God.
And then I needed to get him into his English class. And so I sent him off to do that. I then was trying to figure out how to get the lizard out, because I didn't want the lizard to go into the house further. I then spoke to the corner where the lizard was, and I said, look, lizard friend, I don't want you in my house. I also don't want you to die. I need you to cooperate with me and leave.
The lizard whisperer.
And so then I started, like, moving things around, and I found the lizard on my cat litter scoop. And I said, okay, lizard, you're going to stay on the scoop, and I'm going to proceed to get you out. So please... cooperate. And I took the scoop and I, like, put it over a box in case it was gonna 13th reason itself. And I got it outside. I couldn't believe it. And, like, I have
I'm
a picture.
Proud of you.
I, like, literally, and then I texted Cassie, I was like, I got it.
Dude, after being on the receiving end of those messages was insane, by the way.
Was that the
there
Kelly
was so much happening.
Week?
Yeah, it
or
was.
Or was it
there
the gift that was
so much...
saying sedate me?
We didn't do
my Cassie text of the week was you need to go to bed.
No, I mean, no. We didn't do the case closed.
Oh,
on
my
the bonus.
God, I'm so sorry we didn't.
No, that was my bad. Say lovey. It's oops. Okay. So your favorite Cassie text of the week is that I told you to go to bed.
That and the TikTok that you sent me.
The Aragorn TikTok?
Yep.
You loved that. You loved it so much. I did.
Because, gosh, it was pretty late that you sent that to me.
It was like 11 p.m. I had just come back from drinking with my coworkers because I was in Chicago. I was in Chicago this whole week for like a team meeting. And I'm like, this company, like everybody goes really hard. So like at the end of the day, like it's always just like booze.
Okay, because you're up late a lot of nights sending me stuff.
I know, it's because of this. So like we were just like drinking every night. So anyway, I get back to my room and I shower and I get in bed finally and I'm like waiting to fall asleep. So I'm on TikTok and I come across. Everybody knows my feelings towards Viggo Mortensen in Lord of the Rings. Everybody knows the scene that I'm talking about. It's the doors. It's the doors when it's raining. I think it's Helm's Deep or whatever. And I found this TikTok and it was like, actually, the sluttiest thing a man can do is open.
Open doors.
Open the doors to Helm's Deep or whatever.
And the sound with it too was ridiculous. And she sent it and I happened to be on TikTok right when she sent it. So I was like, oh my gosh, Cassie's sending me something. And I clicked on it. I died.
Died.
It was like, I was like, yep, nope. Cassie's dead right now because of how turned on she must be. I was losing it. So I literally sent an LMAO or whatever. And then immediately was hashtag best Cassie moment of the week.
There it is. There's the winner.
But
oh my
like,
God, I was
swiftly
laughing.
Behind that was me sending her these horrible text chains yesterday. And then actually I sent her a gift that was like, somebody sedate me. And she just laughed at it.
No,
but
I was
honestly,
like,
in that moment,
bed.
If you were with me, I think you would have just gotten me a shot at tequila.
Probably.
And I wouldn't
maybe
have been
more
mad.
Than one.
I would have been like, thank you.
You'd have been like, okay. Yeah. Yeah, we had some good ones this week. This was a week.
Yeah.
But we are thrilled to be doing this today because we didn't do it last week.
Do you want to talk about what you talked about on the podcast? Dollar sign, dollar sign?
Oh, okay. So there's this person at work at my newer job. I mean, I've been there a couple months now, but there's this person. And I've interacted with this person on multiple occasions. And I know they know my name, but they keep either saying it wrong or like spelling it incorrectly in emails. And it's not like just like once. This has happened like 6 or 7 times where it's like, I've had Kathy, Casey, Cassie, C-A-S-S-I. I've had K-A-S-S-E-Y. I've had K-A-S-S-I-E. I've had like... I've had like all of the variations that you can think of. And this is a very, very smart person. Like this person has their PhD, like, and their name is like very ethnic. It's very long. It's like when you look at it, you have to think hard, but I always get it right. I always pronounce it correctly and I always type it correctly because it's really important to me to do that for people because it annoys the shit out of me when people get my shit wrong. It's like, mm-hmm. If you're going to work with me, know who I am. So while I was in Chicago for work, there was like a handful of us there who made the trip to this meeting. And I received an email, yet another email from this person spelling my name wrong. And I lost it. I was like, you know what? And I like explained the situation and I was like, I cannot take this anymore. So I respond to the email and then I signed it C-A dollar sign dollar sign I-E. It was like... 2% passive aggressive, but like I couldn't anymore. 200%, and like my teammates thought this was like the funniest shit. So now they call me Cass Money, like they being my teammates. I don't know if this person's gonna get the point or not, but we were all joking that like maybe I sent this individual into like a tailspin because she like or they won't respond to like my emails anymore, and so like. I don't know, but from now on, everybody, it's C-A dollar sign dollar sign I-E, Cass Money, and that's possibly my rap name.
I cannot not call you Cass Money now.
You know what the problem that I have with all of this is, like, the problem that I have is I have taken the time to correct this person along the way. If it was the type of thing where I just hadn't said anything and I just let it happen, like, that's different, mm-hmm. But I took the time to correct this individual. And they're still doing it.
Like, that's what's disrespectful.
Yeah, that's what rubs me the wrong way. So finally I was like, you know what? Here it is.
The breaking point happened. So,
Anyway, that's my fun little takeaway from my Chicago adventure. Do you know we've surpassed.
Oh, we're surpassed at
15
it.
Minutes.
But I think that it's going to get cut a little bit because of what happened in the beginning. So we're good.
You're right. But this is what you all come for anyway. So,
yep.
Except for that one person on YouTube.
Fuck that one person.
All right. So there we are. So should we get to the good shit?
Let's get to the today. Good shit.
All right. What have we? I can't remember where we left off. I have a legend / cryptid individual. What do you have?
I have a movie star.
A movie star?
Yes.
Neat. Well, how long is yours? Mine's 4 pages.
Mine's a little bit lengthy and very tragic.
Let's start with you.
Okay.
Okay, so like disclaimer? Like disclaimer
yeah,
level
there will
tragic?
Be a
okay.
I will say that it ends very tragically and gruesome, in my opinion. So trigger warning, honestly.
Consider it disclaimed.
Yeah, if you would like to just skip ahead to Cassie's wonderful voice, skip on ahead. You won't offend
yeah,
me.
Yeah, see you there.
I am talking about Jane Mansfield today. Who was Jane Mansfield? Well, she was a movie star in the 1950s. She was a gorgeous blonde bombshell of the time.
You go, girl.
And she was the mother of a phenomenal star of today. And I will get to that towards the end.
I'm excited. I feel like
some of our listeners
I know this.
Already know who I'm talking
know.
About. So, but I'm going to get to that towards the end because I read something at the end that, or my notes lead to something at the end that was like, whoa, that's a little spooky, in my opinion.
A little spookala bookala?
To
okay.
me, it's like, that's a very weird coincidence. So, anyways.
It's a touch spookala. Okay.
Mansfield was born Vera Jane Palmer on April 19th, 1933, in Bryn Mawr, Pennsylvania. Her father was Herbert, an attorney and a musician, while her mother, Vera, was previously a school teacher. In her childhood, early at the age of 3, her father died tragically from a fatal heart attack while driving with the family.
Oh, yikes.
Reflecting back on that tragedy, she said something went out of her life, and her earliest memories were the best, and she always tries to remember the good times when her father was alive. Her mother returned to teaching to support herself and her daughter in 1939, she remarried, and he was a sales engineer named Harry Pierce. The family moved to Dallas, Texas. Mansfield enjoyed the middle class upbringing. It was later reported that she was above average student. So that's
cool. A little smarty pants.
At the age of 16, she met 20-year-old Paul Mansfield at a Christmas party and immediately fell for him. They married. Immediately fell in love. They married in January of 1950, a few months before she had graduated from Highland Park High School. So she graduated and they got married. Later
and there you
that
go.
Year, she gave birth to a daughter, Jane Marie.
That's freaky because I went to high school with somebody named Jean Marie.
Oh, that's interesting.
Really close. I know.
She attended Southern Methodist University and the University of Texas in Austin, focusing on drama and appearing in local plays, including the production of The Death of a Salesman. And after Paul returned from the Korean War, she convinced him to move to Los Angeles so she could pursue her dream of becoming a movie star.
Okay, first of all, what a powerhouse. She graduates, gets married, has a kid, and then is like, I'm going to university while my husband's in the war. By the way, when we get back, we're going to Los Angeles.
Yep.
That's so tight. We love to see it. You go, girl.
Her first years in Hollywood initially brought disappointment. She had unsuccessful auditions for Paramount and Warner Brothers and had to take a job selling candy at a movie theater. She also sought out modeling work, but professional photo shoots and advertisement for General Electric. She was cropped out of a picture because she looked too sexy. For the 1954 audiences, according to photographer Gene Lester. Still, Mansfield was able to make her TV debut later that year with an appearance in the Lux Video Theater series. So, she was starting to make an appearance.
There she is.
Although she struggled to break into the show business, her marriage did suffer, and in 1955, Paul split ways, though she opted to keep his last name. That same year, she made her big screen debut in the small parts in a trio of 1955 films, Pete Kelly Blues, Hell on Frisco Bay, and Illegal. Mansfield proved to have no holds. She was the original wardrobe malfunction.
Oh!
She proved to have no holds. Barred for self-marketing, she took steps in distinguishing herself from many curved blonde starlets attempting to make it big in Hollywood at the time. The model actress made pink her trademark color. She wore pink, drove a pink car, and eventually bought a pink house and decked it all out in pink and dubbed the Pink Palace.
That's called self-branding. You go, girl. Mm-hmm. We love it.
When she was
Barbie.
What? Yeah.
Barbie, yeah.
When she was starting to make a name for herself in the mid-50s, she garnered a nationwide publicity when attending a media gathering related to Jane Russell's Underwater in Florida film. Her top mysteriously fell off in a pool.
Oops. Listen, we gotta do what we gotta do.
Flanked by numerous journalists. From then on, the journals put it on. Mansfield suffered so many onstage strap and zipper mishaps that nudity was, for her, a professional hazard.
Well, there you have it.
Yep. Shortly after the underwater incident, she signed a contract in 1955 with Warner Brothers.
Oh, and there it is. Yep. Bing, bang.
And later that year landed a role of Rita Marlowe in the hit Broadway production, Will Success Spoil Rock Hunter? Which ran for 444 shows.
Oh.
Yep.
Wow.
She also starred in the play's 1957 film, Adaption. Those performances finally established Mansfield as a marquee actress. She went on to be featured in such films as Kiss Them For Me, co-starring Cary Grant, The Wayward Bus, Sheriff of a Fractured Jaw, and It Takes a Thief. She was making it.
Crushing it, yeah.
Mansfield also was featured in the Playboy magazine.
Oh.
She was a beautiful blonde bombshell. Shocker.
I mean, yeah, that fits the bill, you know.
She had several more husbands and several more children along the way. Her career did fizzle out in the late 50s and early 60s, but she was still a well-known name in Hollywood, you know?
What led to it, like, fizzling out, or was it just kind of like it had been long enough, or like... Was there, like, any sort of,
there wasn't really,
you know, scandal?
No, there was no scandal, nothing like that. She was just, the thing that I was reading was, after seeing that her career fizzled out domestically and doing European pictures, I think it's because she was moving overseas and doing stuff overseas, there wasn't a lot of work for her stateside.
Mm-hmm, okay.
But she was still doing photos in magazines, still doing a lot of, commercial work here.
Mm-hmm.
She was still well known and still well loved. Like, it wasn't, there was no bad blood from what I was seeing.
Okay, cool.
In the later 1960s, she returned to the stage with an acclaimed turn in Bus Stop and developed into a successful Vegas headliner and the nightclub performer. So she was...
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Now, in the late 1960s, this is where I'm going to put a disclaimer and trigger warning. So if you've liked everything to this point and you'd like to stop listening, now's your chance. On June 29th, 1967.
Stop! My birthday?
Yeah. On the way to a morning TV interview, Mansfield, along with Brody, a hired driver, were traveling to New Orleans, Louisiana, in the front seats of a Buick Electra after a nightclub performance in Biloxi, Mississippi. Mansfield and her three children that she had with her husband, her former husband, Haggerty, that's the last name, the three children were in the back seat. It was sometime after 2 a.m. The car was rounding a curve and crashed into and went under a slow tractor trailer and believed to be obscured by pesticide spray, killing all three in the front seat.
Oh, brutal.
It was a brutal death. Mansfield was...
decapitated?
Yes.
Oh boy, that's what I thought. Oh no.
The National Highway Traffic and Safety Administration eventually regulated that all tractor trailers have a rear underguard installed because of this incident. And it's now often known as the Mansfield Bar because of this incident.
Oh, I mean, at least it was I would imagine that would be very fast. So mm-hmm. At least she wasn't.
Now, I had mentioned in my earlier parts that she's the mother of a well-known actress.
Yeah.
Anyone know the wonderful, the amazing Olivia Benson?
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
So, I have a hard time pronouncing her name.
Mariska Hargitay, I think, something like that. Wow, I didn't realize that. Okay, maybe I did know this somewhere.
That was her mom. What I find very creepy or strange or odd.
Odd.
Jane was 3 years old when her dad died while they were driving a car. And yes, he died of a heart attack.
Right.
Mariska was 3 years old while she was driving in the back seat and her mom was killed in a car.
Jesus, that's wild. Oh my God. So she was witness to that shit. Jesus.
She has no memory of it.
She can't. I mean, she was so young.
While she remembers her mom well and very good memories of her mom well, this incident she has no memory of.
And I'm sure her brain heavily. Was like,
yeah,
we'll just,
which is put wonderful. That away. I don't wish that on anybody to remember, obviously.
No.
She's been interviewed heavily on this, and she's asked heavily, do you remember the incident? I don't know why anybody would ask
that. Yeah, what are we doing?
That's
like,
so... Why would you do that? That's horrible.
Can we just not? What the fuck with people? All right.
I think Jane would be very proud of her daughter today.
Yeah, I think so.
And everything that she's doing. I do remember my mom talking about Jane Mansfield. My mom's like, she always says there's something about her and her story that just seems odd and strange to me. I think that's what really led me to want to cover her.
Here on Oddities. No, that is really interesting. I didn't know any of that about her.
I think she was a really phenomenal actress. People often wanted to compare her to Marilyn Monroe. And she said, what if Marilyn Monroe was copying me?
I love that.
And I loved that.
Yeah.
She is a beautiful woman. And I think her death was tragic. And she would have gone on to still do amazing things in life.
Probably so. I hate that it was taken so abruptly and so cruelly.
Mm-hmm.
It's a shame, especially since she had hit like a lot of the things that she had wanted to do and everything. But like,
she could have enjoyed
the time with her. Yeah, she was, and she could have, even if she didn't want to, she wanted to step away and just enjoy the time with her kids. Like, you know, it's just like, that's a bummer.
Yep. So that was Jane Mansfield.
That was a good one. Good choice. That's a gnarly incident. I don't think there, I mean, I think it was just purely an accident.
Like, no,
I don't
it think really was just a tragic accident. There was no, it wasn't a setup or anything like that. It was a very series of unfortunate events. That's fortunately, a huge bummer, but good. All children did survive with minor injuries, but the three that were in the front seat didn't survive. So
I don't think they really would have stood a chance. Yeah. Well, that was a good topic, though. Good choice, bestie. Well done.
I'm curious about your topic, though.
I have literally nothing related to this at all. This comes from listener Michael, honorary cousin Michael. Thank you, honorary cousin Michael.
Thank you.
Today, I'm covering the Goat Man. Matt, so there are like a lot of variations on the story of the Goat Man, who is Prince George's County. I don't know if we really want to call it Pride and Joy, but synonymous with Prince George's County. We're in Maryland. And it's basically impossible to keep all these variations straight. For some, he's nothing but a lonely, angry goat herder who went, like, berserk after finding his beloved goats dead due to, like, some shit that some, like, teens pulled. To others, he's in the same family as Bigfoot, and he's, like, a mythical beast that roams the earth. In probably one of the more bizarre tellings of all of this, the Goatman is the result of a ghastly experiment at the Beltsville Research Agricultural Center. and the USDA facility has actually been forced to deny that story.
That's hysterical. So, been forced? So,
I guess, yeah. So the Goatman, I mean, like a common thread, is that the ghost man terrorizes lovers, chases teens, also decapitates dogs, which is like very not cool. But he's known to yell, squeal, make goat noises. He's made reported like appearances all across the region. He inspired fear and fascination for decades. But according to one historian and author, and also like the foremost expert on the Maryland legend, his name is Mark Opusnik, there is a canonical Goatman origin story, and it begins on Fletchertown Road in Bowie. So, the first media mention of the Goatman came on October 27th, 1971. I have to say that, like, the overwhelming majority of cryptid stories happens in the 70s. So,
Drugs.
Anyway, so the first mention is in 1971 in the Bowie-based Prince George's County News. It was a newspaper or a magazine or something. Anyway, in the article, the writer, Karen Hosler, takes a pretty deep dive, into the University of Maryland folklore archives. And she mentions the Goat Man, along with the ghosts and something called the Boa Man, who also haunt the woods around Fletchertown Road. 2 weeks later, the author Hosler writes another newspaper article with the headline, quote, "Residents fear Goatman lives, dog found decapitated in Old Bowie," quote. The article described basically like the search of a family, and it was the Edwards family, and they're searching for their missing puppy named Ginger, and then days later, Ginger was found near Fletchertown Road, dead and headless. So the article connects the deceased dog with the Goat Man, saying a group of teenage girls, including the 16-year-old daughter of the Edwards family, April, that these girls had heard strange noises and seen like this very large creature on the night that the dog had supposedly like disappeared. It also reported that sightings of, quote, an animal-like creature that walks on its hind legs, quote, were increasing all along this Fletchertown Road. So, not much later after that, like 3 days later, like a month and 3 days later, November 30th, the Goatman gets its first introduction to a larger audience due to the Washington Post. So I guess the Washington Post was like, this shit sounds wild. Time for us to write about it. So an article headlined, quote, legendary figure haunts remote Prince George's Woods, quote, identifies the young men who found Ginger. So three dudes find Ginger the dog. That's Ray Hayden, John Hayden, and Willie Geen. All of those names sound fake to me, but it doesn't matter. Anyway, the Prince George's County Police are also quoted in the piece saying that the legend just gets passed on from generation to generation and that they've been receiving, like, at that time, more recent calls about Goatman sightings. So, jumping forward to today, the historian who, like, focuses a lot on this and, like, the expert on this, Opasnik, grew up, like, just miles from Bowie in Greenbelt, Maryland, and remembers very clearly the first time he heard about the Goatman legend. He was in seventh grade and in the backseat of his friend's older brother's car. And he says, we would get rides. When we would act up in the backseat, they would tell us to shut the hell up or they'd dump us on Fletchertown Road and the Goatman will get us. And ever since then, he had... love that. And ever since then, he had become, like, enamored of the story. So while attending Roosevelt High School, this guy, Opasnik, and his friends would go goatman hunting. So in fact, like, searching for the monster had actually become, like, this local teen obsession, which I totally buy into because, like, having been from Jersey and, like, in the 90s, early 2000s, everybody was obsessed with hunting, like, the Jersey Devil. So I could see why, like, you know, Maryland had this thing going on with the goatman for, like, teens. But anyway, he described, like, goatman parties on Fletchertown Road and nearby Crybaby Bridge on Lotsford Road. And it sounded like something out of, like a movie. I mean, it was, like, Halloween night, 1979 was one of the craziest nights of my life, is what he says. Like, because he went to, like, this goatman party or whatever. But anyway, a professor of folklore in the English department at the University of Maryland, so this is Dr. Barry Pearson, was in charge of the aforementioned University of Maryland Folklore Archives. And even today he says, if I mention the goat man on the first day of class, all the locals know exactly what I'm talking about. This guy, Dr. Pearson, thinks that the legend of the goat man was influenced by car culture in the 60s and 70s, which gave teens the freedom to discover the world around them. It might also be tied, he argues, to what students were learning about Greek culture and the half-man, half-goat god Pan in school. Certainly the newspaper accounts that, like, were pretty rampant at this time helped feed into this whole thing.
Yeah.
And goats are, like, kind of freaky anyway, right? Like, they're known to, like, smell weird and sometimes they're, like, kind of charming, but if you look at them, like, their eyes are fucking freaky and spookalabookala. So they're just, like, freaky creatures. But anyway, fast forward a little bit. 1987. The historian Opasnik, he starts writing for something called Strange Magazine. And basically, he wasted no time to getting to the Goatman. Like, in 1994, he wrote what he thinks was the first thoroughly researched piece about the legend, titled, quote, On the Trail of the Goatman. He later would expand this article into a full chapter for a book that he writes, but he tracked down the Edwards family and the men who even found, like, Ginger the dog. So one of the guys, John Hayden, tells Opasnik that he and the others had seen an animal the night before. It was, like, 6 feet tall, walked on 2 feet, and was hairy. Which, honestly sounds like Bigfoot.
Tall. Yeah.
Or, like, you know, a human being maybe wearing something strange, or, like, deer have stood on hind legs, bears have stood on hind legs, like...
Be anything there.
Yeah. The not deer. Anyway.
I was literally about to say, the not deer.
God, I hope so. So anyway, Hayden also noted that it made a high-pitched sound like a squeal. And Opasnik was also able to speak with April Edwards, who was the daughter of the Edwards family, whose dog, you know, it was her dog. And she said, people came here and called it folklore, and the papers made us out to be ignorant hillbillies who didn't know any better. But what I saw was real, and I know I'm not crazy. Whatever it was, I believe it killed my dog. So the historian Mark Opasnik, he doesn't believe that the goat man exists. He's like, quote, I can't believe in something until I see it with my own eyes. Like, same. So anyway, he feels bad saying that because he genuinely believes that the people he's spoken to, like, did in fact see something. And he says, I mean, anything is possible in this world. Maybe there is a half man, half animal creature out there. But that's the legend of the goat man. We really don't know. It was just like this thing that like hit in the 70s and whatever else. What were you going to say?
I think it's a bear.
Like, it totally sounds like it could be a bear to me. And I think just like spun off into this weird.
Yeah, I think it's a bear. Bears can make high-pitched noises.
Bears animals can make all kinds of weird noises.
Animals make weird noises. I think it's a bear. Bears stand on their hind legs. Bears are hairy. I think it's a bear.
Yeah, I think it could be any number of things. I think bear is probably chief among them in my mind. I mean, we get bears.
Could argue to say that it was a deer as well.
Yeah, so. Like, I mean, where I am in Pennsylvania is like maybe an hour and a half from there. Like, we've had a bear in our neighborhood. We get deer. Like, I mean, it happens.
Yeah.
So, like, it sounds like where they are is relatively rural. So, like, maybe there's some, like, forests around, things like that. Like, it's totally possible.
My parents get bears.
Yeah, so, like.
I don't know. I think it's either a bear or a deer, honestly.
Yeah. And I think it's one of those things that, you know, the 70s were a wild time, but also, like, people love to just, like, put a spin on things, and then it just takes off, and it's changed in so many different ways and everything else. Like, it's very possible that the Edwards family was like, yeah, I saw something weird, and I didn't stay long enough to see what the fuck it was. And then, like, people were like, oh, it's the goat man. And then they're like, yeah, sure, whatever. Like, yeah, you know,
sure, that sounds good. I want some 15 minutes of fame.
I mean, yeah, totally possible. And then, like, of course, like I said, being from Jersey with the whole Jersey Devil thing and everything else, I'm sure, like, people in, like, West Virginia with the Mothman or whatever, like, teenagers, like, cling on to this shit. And they're like, oh, this will be fun for a Friday night. Like, let's go be stupid and, you know, do this, like, goat man hunt. Yeah. It just, like, perpetuates it.
They blew it out. Proportion, it sounds like.
Yeah, and like I thought the one guy's point about the car culture was interesting. So like teens in the 60s and 70s, like they get an ounce of freedom or they want to go park and like make out with somebody somewhere and then they like tell this creepy story and like you know, like it's just, you know, it's just, it's so classic.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, the goat man was a blast to research. Do I think the goat man exists? Absolutely not. I don't think there's a half man half goat running around.
This one's not. It sounds like Hercules.
I know. I kept thinking about Phil.
I was like, Phil? Is it you?
Phil's there, but like really tall. Yeah, exactly. So I don't know. I mean, it was a lot of fun to research. And it's cool because it's not very far from where I am. So I was like, yeah, I'm into this shit.
This was bringing up, and I was upset because it disappeared quick for me. You know, TikTok sometimes does that. You'll be watching something and it'll just like disappear all of a sudden on you. It was a woman. She found a people who have seen cryptids map, right? And so you like it's like all these dots, and I was like, wait, where is this? I need to see this. And she's like, this is how many people in the U.S. that have seen cryptids, and it was insane. Which was,
I'm sure it was a bunch.
It was amazing how many people in the central of the U.S. I guess it was central that hadn't seen cryptids, but all West Coast. And all East Coast.
You know why? Because there's fucking nothing in the middle of our country.
Yeah. And then she goes, I thought cryptids only existed in Appalachia.
Oh, there it is.
And I was like, that is probably the most accurate thing I've ever heard in my entire life.
Literally, like, cryptid city there. Like, it is the cryptid capital of the universe.
I was like, you know what? Valid to believe.
100%. Actually, it totally makes sense to me that it was like, on the West Coast, probably particularly, I would argue maybe in the Pacific Northwest, right. And then all along the East Coast, because we're all fucking crazy over here. And then in the middle, they have, like, more important things to worry about, like fucking tornadoes. They're just like,
yeah, the tornadoes wipe out all the cryptids. There you go. It makes sense.
That's it. Mother Nature, baby. So, like, they're like, we don't have time to worry about fucking goat men. We have, like, this crazy tornadoes. Fucking tornado. Yeah. So, I gotta find that map too. I need to find it.
I'm gonna be looking for it today because it was. I was like, that was cool.
That is cool. Yeah, but anyway, this was a fun one to research. So thank you, honorary cousin Michael. What a baller episode.
This was a good episode.
This was a good episode. So thank you everybody for listening. Please help us spread the word about our show. Let us know what you think about all of this. And until next time,
stay strange.